Happy Thanksgiving to you, and I hope that your Thanksgiving holiday went very well. My family and I had a pleasant time together, just enjoying the day off and the days off from school, and just hanging out together and taking care of things around the house. I hope you had a pleasant holiday as well. This being Thanksgiving weekend, I'd like to ask you to do this for our invitation time today. If you have one thing in particular that you are very grateful to God for this year, if you would like, write that down on one of our prayer cards, send those to the center aisles, and then they'll be collected during our invitation song, and we'll give thanks to God for the way that he blessed you or your family or someone you know this year. Just if you would like to, just jot that down. And also, if you want to, if there's something God did for you this year that you just really, really, really praise God for and want to share that with the church, come up to the front during the invitation song and let me know, and I'll share that with the church here after the lesson this morning. So we've been studying the Psalms of Lament since the first week of October, and we'll finish our series on the Psalms of Lament today. The Psalms of Lament have taught us to cry out to God when we're going through the chaotic storms of life, when wicked people harm the innocent, when we're facing pain or death, when we've sinned and we need God to forgive us, when we're caught between hope and despair, and even when we're frustrated with God himself, the Psalms of Lament teach us to pick up all of this, whatever's going on, and place it before the throne of God. And we may be angry or frustrated. We may be impatient. God, hurry up, please. We may be hurting. We may be doubting when we lift up these kinds of prayers, but we still lift them up because we fully expect that God, the creator of the world, the one who is faithful to his people, will hear our cry and help us again. And from our perspective, the best possible outcome when we cry out to God and lament would be that he would step into the chaos of our lives and just completely calm the storm. Just shut it down and make things right. Like Jesus did on the Sea of Galilee when his disciples said, "Lord, don't you care if we drown?" And Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the waves and they became calm. We would like God to do that for us. Just, "Lord, make all the evil stop, all the pain, all the difficulty, everything that is making us afraid, just make it stop, Lord." And sometimes he does. Sometimes God steps into the chaos of our lives and he commands it to be calm. And the cancer is gone, praise God. Or the wicked are caught and held accountable for what they've done. Or that incredibly rude coworker or neighbor that I mentioned a few weeks ago that you have to put up with all the time, who does everything they can to ruin everybody's peace, suddenly has to move to extreme northern Alaska, where I'm sure there are good people whom God has equipped to help that person grow in character. We lament because we expect God to listen to our cries and to help us. So when he does, how do we respond? Listen to the words of Psalm 30. Psalm 30 is a psalm that comes after lament. And it says, "I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, 'I will never be shaken.' Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. May God bless the reading of his word. The first thing to notice in this psalm is that it clearly follows lament. You can hear that in the things the writer says. Verse 1, you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. So the writer had some kind of problem with some enemies, and God delivered him. Verse 2, Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. So he prayed for help. God heard, and God answered, and gave him healing. As the psalm goes on, it becomes more clear that the writer had cried out to God, not just in normal prayer, but in lament. Verse 5, he says, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. There had been weeping. And then in verse 8, a summary of how the writer had prayed to God. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit, meaning the grave? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. He quotes how he used to pray to God. And this, as we have seen these past few weeks, is the language of lament. The writer had been crying out to God in lament over his enemies, over the possibility of death, over his need for healing. And God heard his cry and rescued him. So now, with the chaotic storm calmed, the writer praises God and gives him thanks. At the beginning of the psalm, verse 1, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. And at the end, verse 12, Lord my God, I will praise you forever. He praises God, he gives him thanks, and it has to be this way. Because if we expect the Lord to hear our cry of lament, then we must also honor him when he answers our prayer and takes away the storm we had called him to address. To fail to give God thanks when we pray and he helps us would be to insult his kindness. It would be returning his favor with selfishness. But when we cried out to him in lament, we cried out to God out of hearts of faith, believing that God would hear our prayer and that he would help us. And with the same hearts of faith, we acknowledge that he has helped us now. And we praise him and we give him thanks. Faith trusts God. And faith responds to God's faithfulness with thanksgiving and praise. And then the writer tells his story. He tells what God did for him. Verse 6. He says, when I felt secure, so I think he means when everything was going well, I said, I will never be shaken. You may have been in that spot in your life at some point where you just feel like, nothing will shake my faith. My faith is strong. The Lord and I, we have a good relationship here. He says, Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. Everything was great. God was there. The writer felt strong, but then something changed. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. Suddenly it felt like God was far away, not paying any attention. And the writer was afraid. All that security he had felt disappeared. But then in verse 8, the writer called out to the Lord for mercy, he says, and God heard his prayer. And then verse 11, you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth, that itchy cloth that the people of Israel used to wear when they were in terrible grief. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. God calmed the storm, and he made everything right again. And so the writer is filled with joy and thanksgiving and praise, so much so that it overflows from him. And he calls all of God's people to praise God, not just himself, but everyone. And so verse 4, sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Let all of God's people sing his praises. And why? Because look what God did for me. God is faithful. Sometimes he gets angry, typically because of our sin, you know. But his anger is brief, only for a moment. And his favor lasts a lifetime. He will not stay angry. He is a God who loves to forgive those who turn to him. And when trouble comes, we may weep for a little while. We may weep through the night. But God helps us again, and rejoicing comes in the morning. Because God is faithful, he hears the cries of his people. And so when our time of lament is done, we lift up our thanks to his throne. Here's another psalm that seems to come after lament, Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side, when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared against us, the flood would have engulfed us, the torrent would have swept over us, the raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You may recognize that psalm by now. We've been singing a song that comes from that psalm. We've been learning that song these past few weeks. People attacked us, the psalm says. And if the Lord had not been on our side, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood, the chaos, the evil, whatever it was, would have engulfed us, would have swept over us, would have swept us away. But it didn't, because the Lord was there and he supported us. And so grateful praise gushes out of the mouths of the people of Israel. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And this is how God's people respond. When the danger was real, when the situation was terrifying, when we were desperate and there was no one to help except the Lord, and he saved us, this is how God's people respond. And so I want to pause just a moment here. It's Thanksgiving weekend. Think back on the past year. Did you have a time this year when you prayed urgently to God and he answered you and he rescued you? Some of you have. Was there a time when you prayed for someone else and God did exactly what they needed? If there was, or if God has just been good to you this year, then sing with me the words of Psalm 124. Had it not been the Lord. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side. The anger of the enemy would have swallowed us alive. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side. Blessed be the Lord who would not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for his unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, the waters would have engulfed us, we would have surely died. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side. Blessed be the Lord who would not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for his unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord who would not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for his unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Words of thanksgiving. This is what we say when God has rescued us and we give him thanks and praise. And that is a wonderful moment. But what if you've prayed and prayed, just like in the Psalms of Lament, but God has not calmed the storm? You've watched someone you love struggle with that disease for years, and it has not gotten any better. And you know that God could just speak a word and that person would be healed, but he hasn't done it. Or wicked people in Iraq and Syria make the headlines again. That's so frustrating for us. Or there's a murder right here in our own county. It's scary, and we ask God, how could this be? Why doesn't God make all this evil stop? Or that rude neighbor or coworker. You know, it would be an easy thing for God to just send him up to extreme northern Alaska, but instead he makes us put up with this guy day after day. What do you do then? We've noticed throughout this series that the Psalms of Lament, even as they cry out to God in strong language from situations that range from troubling to terrifying, almost always include a word of confidence about the faithfulness and goodness of God, that sooner or later he will help. Psalm 13, which we looked at in our second lesson on lament, is a good example of a psalm that ends with confidence, a psalm of lament ending with confidence. So Psalm 13 says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. And my heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." This psalm is so strange at first glance. It starts with, how long? But it ends with praise. Verse 1, how long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? The writer feels like God is distant there in verse 1. He's full of sorrow in verse 2. His enemy continues to triumph over him in verse 2. He pleads with God for help in verses 3 and 4. The situation is desperate. But then in verse 5, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." This psalm starts with how long, but it ends with praise. And in our minds, those don't naturally coexist. They seem like opposites that cancel each other out. If God helps us, of course we praise him. If he doesn't, we either question whether we're doing something wrong or whether he might not really be a good and loving God after all. But if he is good and we're doing the best we can, we're being faithful, why would God ever fail to help his people? Yet this psalm, like most of the psalms of lament, praises and thanks God even when he has not calmed the storm, has not taken away the fear, has not taken away the sorrow or the feeling that he is far away, even though the writer has been faithful as far as we know. How can this be? This praise offered at the end of Psalm 13 is more than just wishful thinking. It's not, "God, I'm going to say that you've been good to me in the hope that you will be." That would be dishonest. And the Psalms of Lament are honest to a fault. Now, the writer means what he wrote here. The praise is real. The crisis is still in process. The struggle with sorrow and enemies and that feeling that God is not paying attention is still in full swing. And yet God's goodness somehow touches the writer, even in the midst of the storm. This is one of the great wonders of our God. And we come into contact with it here at the end of Psalm 13. Even when he doesn't take away the storm, he is still faithful. He goes with us through the storm. And he gives us grace in the form of strength to endure. He gives us grace in the form of strength to grow in spiritual maturity and to live in holiness and to appreciate what we have been given that is good. And that's why we praise him not only after lament, but even during lament. The Apostle Paul described this phenomenon briefly in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He describes this wonderful experience that God gave him. And then he says in the middle of verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, 7, "Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." We don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. There's some guesses out there, but we can't pin it down exactly. And it doesn't matter much. It was something serious. He says it was from Satan, and it tormented him. It was something serious. We get the impression that Paul cried out to God urgently, possibly in the style of lament. He says three times he pleaded with the Lord to take it away, but God did not take it away. Instead, God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And Paul was able to accept that message, though I'm sure he would still have been delighted to have God take that thorn away. This is one of the great wonders of our God. He may not make that rude fellow move to Alaska. My apologies to our good neighbors in Alaska. But he gives us the grace to love this unlovable person the way Jesus would, and to keep from becoming bitter. He may not stop those Russian rebels in Ukraine from taking over the building where our sister church in Donetsk, that I talked about several weeks ago, used to worship. But he gives that church the grace to love their enemies and to pray for peace and to work toward it. He may not take away the disease, and that's hard for us to accept. But in our weakness, his strength is made perfect as he gives us the strength to depend on him through difficulty and pain. And if he would just take the disease away, we would rejoice. But even if he doesn't, he never leaves us, but he strengthens us every day. And in that way, we experience his goodness. Paul wrote a little earlier in the same letter, in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. How can this be? It happens because God is faithful. And even when he does not calm the storm, he goes through it with us. He gives us the grace to endure. He gives us the grace to grow and to live in holiness when, from the perspective of the world, we had every reason to turn bitter and give up. And as we receive grace from God to endure, the result is that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And as outwardly we are wasting away, yet God renews us day by day, and he reorients our eyes to see the eternal glory that is coming that far outweighs all of our troubles. And that doesn't make anything we have to go through go away. And it doesn't make any of it easy. It just makes us grateful. Just grateful. Because God is still with us. He has not abandoned us. We have hope beyond anything that can happen to us in this life. We have put our trust in the God who raises the dead, who strengthens the weak, who gives us such a sense of his goodness that even at the moment when we cry out to him, "How long, Lord?" we can also say to him with complete honesty, "I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." And so after lament, or even during lament, we give thanks. After lament, we praise God because he showed us his favor and calmed the chaotic storm. "You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent." During lament, we praise God because even in the midst of the storm, he shows us his goodness and he sustains us. "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." And somewhere in the process, somewhere in all of this, our hearts are changed. We become more sensitive to the ways of God. We start to glimpse little bits of maybe why he doesn't always calm the storm right away. Somehow he uses our trials to help us mature in ways that bless us in the long term. And we don't understand all of that and how he does that. It's a mystery. It's part of his awesome character and his power. But we appreciate it. And our hearts become more sensitive to the situations of others who are still caught in storms and our hearts go out to them. And we pray for them, just like we prayed for ourselves. And in this way, too, the Lord shapes our hearts to love others the way He loves others and the way He loves us, and to help those who are hurting, just as Jesus gave His life to help us. And for this, too, we give thanks to God, both during the storm and after. During and after, our God is faithful. And so we sing, and I'll ask Ryan to come and lead us in our invitation song here. For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you've promised, and all that you are, is all that has carried me through. Would you stand? Let's sing together.